So today on our weekly Sports Tech podcast powered by Sports Tech Advisors, we have the honor to have Brendan Donahue, a managing director of the NBA 2K League. So Brendan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Julian. Nice to be with you.
Great. So today what I wanted to talk about was why the NBA maybe decided to enter the world of esports. And then if you could talk about what you've learned since the launch of the 2K League, and then talk about the biggest challenges that you faced so far, and then what your plans are for the next 2 years. How does it sound?
Sure, that sounds great. I mean, well, I guess we'll take those one at a time. So in terms of kind of why the NBA decided to get into esports, I mean, I think there were, the league's been around, this is our second season, this process probably started about 4 years ago. We've been looking at esports, you know, really more broadly, and it's been just this business that keeps exploding in growth and growth and higher and higher. And so we saw, you know, this burgeoning community, it was developing. And so we thought, as a, you know, as a media company, the NBA is, you know, there was an opportunity there that existed that we wanted to take a look at. And then the second thing I would say is our NBA owners were very bullish on esports. In fact, they were starting to invest in esports even outside of the 2K League. And they were really pushing us to consider something in esports. And then the last piece was we just have a really successful NBA game that we have access to. And so, you know, 2K is the best, you know, the best selling sports game, sports title in North America, second biggest globally. So we had this great game. We were also, you know, we had partnered with 2K and so on. And so it all kind of brought it together to be a really easy decision for us to start the 2K League.
That's great. So, so what have you learned so far since you launched the 2K League? Anything that you would have done differently, in your opinion?
Well, I said, in terms of kind of what we've learned, I think the biggest thing we learned early on was just how truly engaging our players are. Our players are very unique individuals. They all kind of came from very different backgrounds. Some came from, you know, some might have been an Uber driver, some might have been in the military. We had a police officer this year join the league. But all these really amazing backgrounds and stories and just stories we had to tell. And I think that really we've learned that really season two, that you know, that story needed to be unpacked more. And so now if you watch, you know, we've developed there, you know, a docuseries that, you know, we now are releasing every week. Just really telling those behind the scenes stories of the players behind the league and really kind of this, and their life stories. And it's good. We got an amazingly strong feedback about it. So I'd say in terms of kind of the, you know, what we learned we had to, one, continue to like unpack the stories of our players. And then also number two is prioritize storytelling content, because while people love the game, they equally love kind of hearing the, you know, kind of what's unique about our players and about our everything else about the league.
That's great. So now, any, you know, has there been any challenges that you faced since the launch? Like, for example, you know, adapting the game of basketball to the specificities of the game of esports, or maybe getting a return on investments? I mean, any challenges that you could highlight, you think?
I would say two things. One was initially, I think we had to make sure we created awareness. Awareness about the league. I mean, you assume that, you know, that an NBA product and a 2K product would naturally have great awareness. But in fact, you know, we had to one, make the esports community and everyone aware of what we were doing. And so, and really making people aware of what the 2K League was. And then also educating them on what we were doing. Because what we were embarking on was very different than what other traditional sports leagues had done up until that point. And so, you know, we went all in on esports, and it's 5-on-5, and it's, you know, it's not using, you know, it's not LeBron playing Steph. It's actually our 126 players playing their own unique avatar. And so we had to really educate everyone on what we were doing. So out of the gates, that was probably our biggest challenge. And I would say now the biggest thing we're trying to overcome is, I think if you come to our studio, people realize it is electric. The excitement on the stage, the unique setup we have, that circle setup where players are facing each other, is, I think, is unique to esports. I think you know, it creates this level of engagement amongst the players and this trash talk and this excitement that it's amazing when you're in the studio. And so we have to continue to figure out a way to have that translate into the broadcast. And that's really one big thing we're focused on for this year.
That's great. So, you know, there's a lot of sports teams and leagues that are trying or thinking to get into esports. So what would you advise to any teams or leagues willing to successfully enter the esports market? To be patient, to listen to what the esports gamers are telling them in terms of the kind of experience they want to see? Or what would you tell those teams or leagues?
Well, I mean, listen, generally speaking, traditional sports are really good at the business. And so whether that's putting on a production or it's creating great partnership or marketing the product, they're, you know, that's really kind of in their wheelhouse. So I guess to your point, it is about listening to the community, and it's the fans, it's your broadcast, it's, you know, listening to your players. I mean, oftentimes, you know, the changes we're making from week to week, they might come from, you know, our staff just in the studio sitting with players and talking to them and finding out what they think we should be doing differently. I will say we've learned a ton and made a lot of adjustments based on what we've heard from the Twitch chat. And so I imagine you're familiar with the Twitch chat in terms of just the chat that's going on during the whole broadcast. You know, we've literally changed camera angles. We've, you know, our DJ is playing music that he is requested on the Twitch chat. You know, we're giving new access to fans via what they're asking for. We made a lot of adjustments, you know, really week to week based on what we're hearing from fans.
So you're really trying not to recreate the same kind of basketball experience, but really create something that's specific to esports based on the feedback from your gamers and your fans.
Yeah, I mean, I think we initially took the approach of how can we take the best of esports and the best of traditional sports, and that's been that's kind of been our mindset all along. And so there are a lot of amazing things that I think traditional sports brings to esports. You know, so if you followed our league, you'll know, you know, we have a very, you might call it, traditional draft. You know that the players love and their families love, and it creates that moment. You know, the perfect moment we had this year was, you know, was Chiquita being drafted, and that moment where the audience erupted.
That's right.
And you know, and our talent, you know, announcing, even they couldn't help but get emotional. So that was an exciting moment for us. But then I would say there's a ton to learn from traditional esports that we're integrating into our league as well. You know, most recently, you know, we hosted a tournament on the road in Vegas where we actually, every team was able to ban archetypes, that the other team wasn't able to use. And that's a very traditional esports, tactic that we think was important to bring over into what we were doing. I think, you know, I mentioned the way in which, you know, people who run esports and they might use Twitch or other platforms, the level of engagement with the fans in real time and integrating them into your broadcast is so important. I mean, last year we had, our broadcast team was made up of four people. This year we took one of those four and dedicated them 100% to actually engaging in the chat and bringing that chat and connecting it to the broadcast.
That's great. And you mentioned earlier, Chiquita Evans was drafted, right? It was a pretty big deal. And I think it goes really well with, you know, your NBA commissioner, Adam Silver, was really trying to make a priority, you know, to improve diversity, right, in the league. So what has been the response in the media and the esports community after this announcement?
Well, first off, you're right. I mean, it was a priority for us as a league. I mean, it's one of our core values is making diversity and inclusion a priority. And so, you know, that moment when Chiquita was drafted was amazing, as I mentioned earlier. And so, the reception she has gotten from her team, from fans, has been outstanding. I mean, it's been really an exciting moment for the league. And I would say Chiquita's a great player. She's an even better person and ambassador. I mean, she has been, you know, she is the perfect first woman to be a part of this league. And so she's been a great role model. And so I have no doubt that there are women, you know, competitively playing right now, or young girls who are watching our league that are completely being inspired by her, and they'll be our next generation of women in the 2K league.
That's awesome. So congratulations again on that. So my last question is, what do you guys in your league hope to accomplish in the next 2 years?
So I would say our biggest priority is making sure we continue to find the best players on the planet. So I mean, we think there's a big opportunity for this league to be a global league. And so that means global fans and making sure we're giving them access to the league and making sure we're covered around the world. We think there's making sure we have players from all over the world, and where we already have that, to a certain degree. You know, we have 9 players this year that are international players. And the last thing I would say is, you know, we think from a franchise perspective, this is a global league. So we expect to have franchises all over the world. We think there's an opportunity for us to have a team in London or a team in Shanghai playing Knicks gaming or playing Celtics crossover gaming. And so that really is, we expect this to be a totally global league.
And the NBA is a global league, right? So I think that fits well into what you're doing anyway.
100%. Right? I mean, there's 1.5 billion NBA fans across the globe on social media. It's another great way for us to engage them.
That's great. So look, we're arriving at the end of this podcast interview, but I want to thank you for your time today. It's been great to have you on the show. So thank you.
Julian, thanks very much. Look forward to talking again.
Great. Thank you.